Praise you, Lord. Are you ready for work tonight? Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings. I was praying. I'm praying about what to bring forth tonight. And I believe I have a word for us. I know you're here somewhere. 1 Kings chapter 19. And here we have Elijah that prayed it wouldn't rain, didn't rain for 3.5 years, right? Then he challenged the prophets of Baal and of Jezebel to a competition. He called down a fire from heaven. And Elijah did, and he ended up killing 850 false prophets, demonic prophets. But after it's done, Jezebel says, I want him dead. Basically puts a price on him. Probably more than they were paying for John Wick. I don't know. But anyway, put a price on him. And he gets despondent. In other words, there's something that happens. You have to be in it to know that sometimes when you operate under a very heavy anointing, there's a letdown. The body, the mind reacts to it, and sometimes you can get a little low. You're just soaring in the anointing, and then it comes off. It's like, here, it's just me again. And we call it the juniper tree anointing or experience. And Elijah went under a juniper tree, started complaining about his life because everybody wanted him dead. But let's pick it up reading in verse number 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out, in his mantle went out, and stood in the entering of a cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Why are you hiding out back here? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He's going, I'm alone left. That's a dangerous statement to make. That you're God's only man for the moment, right? Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thy anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of wherever it was, shall anoint to be prophet in thy room. It's interesting. God starts to answer Elijah's statement. And he said, I want you to go and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And I find this interesting. Because Syria wasn't part of Israel. Syria is one of Israel's enemies. And God said, I've got somebody I want to appoint king there. I want you to go anoint him as king. Understand, God is concerned about more than just his church gatherings. He has a worldwide focus. Yes. I believe God decided some time back to anoint Donald Trump president of the United States. And he had no idea what he was stepping into some 7 years ago or whatever. Had no idea what it was going to consist of. And here we are. God's moving through the mightily. Whether you like him or not, whether you like his personality, God's speaking into his life and using his voice to transform the earth.
Yes.
He is a King Cyrus for our hour. So God tells Elijah, go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Then he says, anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. In other words, to take Ahab's place. This thing is falling off again. Hang on just a second. Give me 1 second. Cheat. There we go. And so then he says this. This is the part that was probably shocking to Elijah. Go find Elisha to be prophet in your place. You think you've got it bad? We'll just get you out of the situation. Here's your replacement. How many of that could set you back? Right? So Elijah's told, go find Elisha to make him prophet in your place. And then he says this. Verse 17, it shall come to pass, him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. God says, I got a whole army in reserve. They haven't bowed out to this demonic force. Don't think you're the only one. God's got an army He's raised up in America. It's about to be manifested. It's about to be displayed. Power of God's coming when it seems like we've never dreamed possible. Get ready for the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen. God's about to replace some people.
Yes.
That aren't stepping forward. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Now go to verse 19. So he, Elijah, departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now that casting the mantle upon somebody is by many believed to be an act of adopting somebody. That when you adopt somebody in these days, you put your mantle, some article of clothing on them as they belong to your family. So it was believed that Elijah was declaring to Elisha, I'm adopting you. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Here's the calling, the official calling of Elisha to follow after Elijah. And I want to point out some things about this calling that many might miss out on. One is, Elisha, his family was wealthy. You don't have 12 yoke of oxen unless you've got some bucks. You follow me? He's from a wealthy family. He's not just hanging on. Not only that, he is a working overseer. He's actually got a yoke of oxen he's plowing with himself. He was in the field. And I've read several commentaries, and some of them said, it's interesting that Elisha didn't come from a school of prophets. See, there were prophet training centers in this day, schools of the prophets. Many believe that Elijah was over them. And he wasn't one of the students. He didn't come from a seminary. He came from working in the field. And I like to think of plowing in the field as you're sowing the word of God. You're digging up, stubborn ground. You're getting ready to sow seed. You could be considered an evangelist, but you're out doing the work of the ministry, even though you're not even called. When God called me, I was already operating in ministry. I was running a Bible study out of my house every Monday night. I'm working with the churches. I'm ministering several places. I'm doing everything I can to help the church. And one night on a Saturday night, February of 1993, God spoke to me and said, quit your job or you'll die. I knew what he meant. I knew exactly what he meant. And it wasn't optional. It was a very stern voice. I was doing so much with my secular job. Fairly important position. In fact, it took me 9 months to train my replacement, Mike Houston. And I was doing so much for the church, I was just burning the candle on both ends. I mean, Patty was somewhat of a work ministry widow for a time there because I'm just involved in everything. God said, you don't have time for all of that. Leave the secular position behind. In fact, that word was important for me because later on, when times would get tough financially, when things looked financially beyond our means, Patrick would say, you need to get another job. I said, I can't. God told me to quit my job or I'll die. You want me trying to kill me? See, there's a reason today she still watches the ID channels where women are killing their husbands. I'll keep an eye on it. Anyway, I snuff my tea before I drink it, just in case. God told Elisha, or he called him from the field doing work. We could consider ministry work, but he was working. He wasn't somebody sitting back waiting for God to move. He was doing something.
Yes.
I like to say you got to stay in motion. Do something to position yourself to God, for God to move in your life, right? So he's wealthy. He's out plowing with some oxen. And here's what I find interesting. Elijah comes back and throws his mantle on him. Now, I don't know how Elijah felt about God telling him, Elisha's going to take your place. How would you feel about that? You're doing everything you can for God. You have a down moment. You complain. And God says, okay, here's your replacement. Let you know you probably shouldn't take a faith vacation and start fussing about situations, right? So I will never complain about not having a church building. It ain't going on, you follow me? Thank you, Jesus. Don't replace me. But Elijah says, let me go home and kiss my father and mother goodbye. Elisha recognized he was about to leave the secular realm and go into full-time ministry. And it wasn't something that you come back from. It was a lifetime assignment. Amen? So he tells Elijah, I'm going to go back and say goodbye to my family. Elijah says, basically, do what you want to. What's that got to do with me? First of all, Elisha didn't seem too surprised that God called him. He's not going, what are you doing? What's this all about? I believe Elisha was already a man seeking after God. I believe he saw the sinful condition of Israel, the condition that Ahab had brought on the scene. I believe he's in mourning over it, asking God to do something. And God was probably preparing his heart. I know he was preparing his heart to go into ministry. Like he did mine before he called me. Like he did Patty before God called me, called us really. There was a preparation. So when it happened, he wasn't that shocked. But he said, I know it's for life. Let me go say goodbye to my family. And Elijah, but as he says, I don't care what you do. Now, again, there's some disagreement by the commentators with this man. Some say, well, that was just Elijah blessing him, saying, I understand you got to say goodbye. But when I read it, it reads to me like, do what you want to do. Amen. Elijah made no effort to sell him on the job. In fact, I kind of likened it like he walked by, took his mantle, threw it on him, and kept on walking. Because Elijah knew what it was going to take. And you can't afford to sell somebody on a ministry assignment. Because maybe they'll blame you for you being in it. Because there will be assaults. There'll be attacks. Won't there probably be any attacks? There'll be some attacks. People will rise up against you. Whatever. And he said, go do what you want to do. I think Elijah may have been hoping on the side that Elisha would say, never mind. But God had already spoken his name. And so Elijah leaves it up to Elisha's ability to hear the Spirit of God. Even though he wasn't born again, couldn't be filled with the Spirit yet, he could hear the Spirit. And he was expecting God to tell him, you're supposed to do this. And so it says that he took a yoke of oxen, killed the oxen, took one of the yokes, one of the plows, and burned it to cook the oxen, and he boiled it. And some might say this was a sacrifice, but nowhere in the Word does it say to give God a boiled sacrifice. This is a feast. He's having a celebratory party for the calling of God on his life. Now again, commentators don't know whether to agree on this, so they don't agree. Whether he really went back to his parents or not. Do you follow me? Did he go say goodbye to his parents? Some say it was the right thing to do, and Elijah approved of it. Others say, no, he realized, I need to go now. Kill the oxen right there. Had a feast right there with the servants, and he took off. I don't know which. But I do know, when he killed the oxen and burned the plow, that was saying, I'm done with this career. I'm done with this season, this phase of my life. I'm going after God with everything I have. And he went from a secular assignment to a full-time ministry assignment. But it's interesting when somebody gets called of God. Often they think they're ready to step into a pulpit, you know, change the world, buy an airplane. I've seen a lot of it. I'm around. God's calling. Well, praise God. What's he told you to do right now? And most likely it's like what he had Elisha do. He had to serve. He was called to be Elijah's gopher. Elijah's servant. And we don't know how much time that was for. I've not seen it in the Word how much it was from the time that Elijah was called until Elijah was called up. But for some time, Elijah is a servant. And if you want to be used of God, you've got to become a servant. In fact, Jesus said the greatest among you will be the servant to the others. Amen. And you'll be asked to do stuff you don't like, you don't agree with, you may not think is God. But yet, in your role, you follow through. And God sees faithfulness. He sees covenant. He sees reliability. He says, okay, I can use you to higher positions right now. So Elisha's being faithful with what God has put in his hand. His calling reminds me of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. Remember that story? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do, you know, to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, well, do the law. You know, follow the commands. He said, I've done all that all my life. And Jesus said, what's the thing you've got to do? Go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. And he went away very sad because he was wealthy. Elisha didn't go away sad. Now, it's very likely. Many believe that Yitzchak Miller came back later, and that was Barnabas. Some tradition says. But Elisha didn't say that. He said, I'm done. Let's go. Let's be about the Father's business. And he was wealthy. He had to follow. He wasn't even following Jesus. He was following Elijah. But he did it. And we'll see before we're done. He got the double portion of anointing on his life. Faithfulness with the calling. Lord, help me get through this morning. I've got some things to say. Elijah burned his link to his former life. A new chapter was beginning. Now go to 2 Kings. And let's go to chapter 2. That's where I need to get. We don't know how much later this is, but it's not immediate. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, Gilgal, the word Gilgal means a circle or a ring. Now, when I think of Gilgal in this situation, I think it's circumcision from the world system. Now understand, Elisha's following Elijah. This is a training period. This is learning how the anointing functions. How it can be released about a life of discipline. And it says they left from Gilgal. God's about to finish the cycle. And when I was praying about what to minister tonight, this is the passage that came to me. And I believe we're finishing a cycle. This is about a transition. We mentioned this last week. We're about to go to a time of transition. We were with one 13 months ago. Now it's time to transition again. And they're leaving this completed cycle of deliverance from the world system. And Elijah's going to be taken up to heaven. He was one of two people that in scriptures never died. Who was the other? Enoch. Enoch and Elijah never died a natural death. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now, Bethel, that word means the house of God. Beth is house, hell is God, the house of God. So the next place that Elisha needs to follow Elijah is the house of God. That's where we get built up. That's where revelation comes. That's where anointing comes upon us. That's where we learn to function out of the kingdom. And Elijah says, stay here. Stay at Gilgal. I'm going to Bethel. I don't know why Elijah said stay. But Elijah knew he was going to be taken up. He already knew it. And it could be a test to see if Elijah's going to go all the way or not. For us, it's an assignment that whether it's church time or not, will you connect to the house of God? If you're going to be used of God in a high-level fashion, you've got to learn how to enter the presence of God, whether it's church time or not. You've got to learn how to have a praise life, a worship life, a word time outside of just the hour of church every couple hours. Do you follow me? Elijah's saying, you want to go to the house of God, the next step, because it's a higher level of discipline. It's a higher level of daily practice. If you're going to go to the next step, you've got to learn how to go to the house of God yourself. Amen. Whether we had church or not, I'd have time in the Word. I'm going to have my prayer time. I'm going to have my time of fellowship with God. I'm pursuing the presence of God, whether it's church time or not. How about you?
Yes.
That's part of it. Setting forth time for God. And so Elijah said, I'm going with you. You're not leaving me behind. Verse 3. And the sons of the prophets, that was the school, that were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold thy peace. Now here's interesting. God has spoken to this group of prophetic students, prophetic group, and said, you know, Elijah's being taken up to heaven today. God had already spoken to them. I don't know the format. It could have been some type of word of knowledge they spoke forth in a gathering. But the word spread. They all knew Elijah's going up today. I was taking him today. Amen. I don't know if they thought he was going to die or get caught up like it was, but they thought Elijah, this is his last day. And Elijah says, I already know that. Now, there's no evidence that Elijah told that to Elisha. That's why Elisha's unwilling to stay. I'm following you. You got to know seasons that God's releasing into the earth and into your midst. And be about the Father's pursuit during those times. We're in one of those times. This is time to see if we'll keep pressing ahead. Or whether we go on vacation for a while. Spiritual vacation, you understand. And so, the prophetic people are all online. We know Elijah's going. What do you think about that? Elijah's going, I'm on him. I know that I'm on him. Now, most commentators don't believe the sons of the prophet knew that Elisha was going to receive the mantle. They could have been believing for themselves. But only one was following Elijah wherever he went. The sons of the prophets aren't. They're from that Bethel area. Verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Stop right there for just a second. It appears that Elijah didn't know where he was going. He's at Gilgal. God says, go to Bethel. He gets to Bethel. God says, no, go to Jericho. So much of serving God is like that. I don't know where our next building is. He just says, go. I know next Sunday's come for him. Unless we still find something in between, right?
Yes.
And so we're just following God a step at a time. But when he says, here it is, faith begins where the will of God is known. When he says, this is it, lock in. We're about to use our faith to grab whatever God's got for us.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And so, he says, God sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth. In other words, somewhat of an oath. Knowest thou that the Lord will... I'm sorry. I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Now Jericho, we talked about Jericho a few weeks ago, is the place of warfare. It's the place of major breakthrough. When Israel came into the promised land, they had to conquer Jericho. They could not progress past Jericho. It became a mountain in their midst, or before them. If they didn't get that mountain out of the way, Israel was toast. The man who quit when they crossed Jordan, Jericho's right there. They've got to conquer Jericho or they die. And again, it was an impossible city to conquer through natural means at that time. Yet God brought the walls down. So Jericho is a place of extreme spiritual warfare and faith utilization that's necessary to function in the giftings and the power of God. Amen. It's a place of going deeper into the kingdom, of possessing all that God has. And Elijah says, I'm going to Jericho. Elijah says, so am I. Training periods, what it represents to us. Learning how to stand on your faith. To not move or speak until God says it's time. And so they went to Jericho. Elijah passed the test. He did not stop in his servanthood or his following Elijah. Here come the sons of the prophets again. Look at this. Verse 5. And the sons of the prophets that were in Jericho. This is a different group. This is a different Bible college. Believed all under Elijah, but it's a different group. And they say, knowest thou that the Lord will take away that master from thy head today? The answer, yeah, I know it. Hold thy peace. In other words, shut up. Don't say anything else. I know where I'm going. And so God's speaking to the prophetic people at that time what's about to happen. If God was speaking to the prophetic people in this day what was about to happen, what do you suppose he's saying to the prophetic people today? Sure. Why do you think Lance Wall now is on TV talking about he said that the scripture for us today is in Habakkuk. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the scripture he had was, God's about to show you something that you would never believe. Mm-hmm. We're about to see it.
Yes.
The prophetic voices are declaring. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this so far?
Yes. Yeah.
Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord sent me to Jordan. Sore instruction. It's like, go here, go here, go here. So stay here. Elijah keeps trying to see if Elijah's going to stay behind. Will he go to the next area of challenge, of faith operation? And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. Don't you love it? Hither and thither. So that the two went over on dry ground. Now find this interesting. Jordan represents the place of dying to the old. When Israel crossed the Jordan some years before, That meant they were dying to the wilderness lifestyle and moving into the place of promise. The place of a land flowing with milk and honey. And what do you get when you mix milk and honey?
Money,
right? And so he takes them to this place of dying to all that's of your past. All of your past disappointments, all of your past mistakes, all of your past failings. You die at that place. And Elijah takes out his mantle. I think he did this with it. Snapped it to Jordan and it parted and went across on dry ground. I want to know where that power is today. I think it's still here. You just got to believe for it. I believe we're going to see those kind of miracles. Hey, the Bible times were real life. Those were real events. If it happened then, it can happen now. God's not changed.
That's right.
So they go across on dry ground and crossed over to another realm. Now, I find it interesting. They went from the promised land to the wilderness, crossing over. In other words, at Jericho, they go the wrong direction over Jordan. But again, it's the place of death. God was taking Elijah back to the place before they crossed over the first time. Amen. Probably close to the place that Moses was called up. When Moses died, God took his body, I guess is a better way to put it. And so it says, verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Here's a man of faith. Here you can see what his heart is. He wants to function in what Elijah's been, he's been witnessing. He's not just heard the stories, he's followed him, he's seen it. He saw what was on his life. And God's looking for people now that will see the miracle ministers, the faith ministers, the ones that have built things out of nothing and say, I want to do that too. I'll tell you what's challenging. I always wanted to raise the dead, heal the sick, I wanted to lay hands on people, see them recover, and I've seen much of that. But then to go a step further, I go to Eagle Mountain, Kenneth Copeland's ministry, and I'm going, he built this all by faith. Wow. Go to the Ark, to the pastor's brunch, and see what one guy did through just faithfulness with God. Not even knowing faith like we know it. And built an Ark and a Creation Museum and other facilities around the world that is potentially probably unparalleled. That God did through one man that would believe and step out. Be faithful. I say, God, I want that. I want the anointing, but I want the results.
Amen.
Not that I have to have a huge church, but I want a huge church. You follow me? I want tens of thousands of members. Not for me. I want to be so used by God that it happens. Amen. And so Elisha says, I want a double portion of what's on you. Verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. So Elijah says, you've got to keep your eye on me. If you see me go up, you'll get it. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Followed by a tornado into heaven. Not a dust devil. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He's tearing his clothes off because he's about to receive Elijah's mantle. And as a faith statement, I don't need this anymore. I believe I've received that double portion. He's by faith ripping his clothes, believing for the ministry, anointing to be on his life. He's about to go from servant to double portion prophet. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. I had to think about this today. Follow me. His mantle fell off. What other clothing fell off? And he cast it down. Apparently, when he caught Elijah up, either the mantle fell off or he threw it off for Elijah to pick up as he's caught up. Amen. It's not just a scripture catching him. He's caught up physically. But the mantle's left behind. The mantle representing the anointing, the power, and the authority. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And when he had also smit the waters, they parted hither and thither again. And Elijah went over. He parts the Jordan. But now he's going from the wilderness side to the promised side. And I think in terms of this, from one kingdom to another. From one realm to another. He's now going to the realm of faith, of promise. He was there before as a servant. Now he's going into it as a prophet. Whole different experience. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." They saw it. How did they see that? Had to be prophetical. It's not like all of a sudden there was a glow on him. Or maybe there was. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. They are now accepting him as the head of this sons of the prophets do this. This is what it appears like. And they asked if they could go search for the body of Elijah. Elijah says, "Don't bother. You won't find him." But they searched for 3 days, couldn't find him. And Elijah says, "I told you so." We see a transition here in the life of a man called of God, which really applies to all of us. We're all called for something. Of faithfulness to servanthood. Going to the place of training, Bethel. Going through the spiritual battles, spiritual development, developing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Going to the Jordan, the place of dying to the old and being all in for God. That the anointing comes on. I believe those that are faithful in these transitions say, "God, it's not about the location, it's about the assignment. God's about to bring a double portion of you." I'm not prophesying, I'm just believing for it. That we're about to enter a place where your life itself is about to shift. Not just when you come to church, but at home. Because of faithfulness in following. Faithfulness in servanthood. Faithfulness in pursuit of God. Get ready. Some of you can God make all to start a Bible study in your house. Others, God's going to call to the streets. You follow him. Other, God's going to speak things about giving in your life that you never thought were possible. Whatever it might be. You're ready to hear God on a new level. Elisha heard, refused to stop. Even when Elijah kept saying, "Stay here," he refused to. And now, if you read the encounters of Elisha, there are twice the recorded miracles of the life of Elisha that Elijah experienced as recorded in Scripture. Double of miracles. Amen. There's even an account where they raised the son of the widow woman, both of them. Separate accounts. Because one followed the training of the other. At least the stories of the training. I believe we're about to have a time of our lives. But I believe that word for Pastor Jeff that he brought to us, that it's time for us all to be involved, is valid in that area. Don't get condemned. But get excited. I've learned this. If you do nothing, nothing will happen. If you step out in faith, God will show up. We were watching a movie yesterday, one of your Hallmark movies. Christmas, you still watch it? She ran out of shark shows. She ran out of shark movies and shows, so we're now watching Christmas movies from last year. just in time for Christmas again. Story of my life. But it's football season now. Things shift. Anyway, I was going somewhere. We're watching this movie, and a lady in the movie quoted Wayne Gretzky. You guys know who Wayne Gretzky is?
Yes, sir.
Considered maybe the greatest hockey player of all time. Wayne Gretzky said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take." It applies to every sport. It applies to ministry. You miss out on 100% of the anointing, you don't step out to position yourself to access. So many people wait for God to move on them. Thus saith the Lord, go witness Jesus to that person over there. Okay. No, a lot. 98% of the time or more, you go witness and the anointing comes. Have an impact. You lay hands on people by faith, not just in church, but you lay hands on people you meet out in public, which I do all the time. I pray for people everywhere I go. And the power of God flows. You step out in faith. Well, who am I? You're a born again child of God, full of the Holy Spirit, the fire, that's trained up in the word of faith.
Yes.
Have access to all the promises of God. Do something with it. You step out and watch God move, and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how much power flows out of you just by a step of faith. But you miss 100% of the anointing opportunities that you don't step into. Amen. Don't fall for the lie. I'm not called for that. Yes, you are. All are due to the work of an evangelist. All are to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, not just ministry. We're all called to live by faith. And once you do it, you try to think of a great example on this. Think of the right example. Trying to think of something I discovered in the past, and once I discovered, oh, we'll go with this Galvez jalapeno poppers. I've always been a jalapeno poppers guy. I love them.
Amen.
But when I discovered Galvez, the others were trash. I can still eat them, but they're trash in comparison. There's not. It's like one realm and another realm.
Wow.
And once I discovered them, when I go there, I always order them. I'm going to order a sandwich just to look silly, but I'm after the poppers. Sometimes I order double order the poppers and just skip the sandwich. Because when I discovered how good they were, same with Frank's Donuts, even though I'm not eating them right now. When I discovered how good they were, it became my go-to place. And when you step out in faith and try to move in the power of God, well, I don't feel like I'm qualified. Are you born again?
Yes.
Right, Spirit of God in you, you're qualified.
Yes.
You have the authority.
Yes.
When you step out and do it, and God shows up, you're going, wow, I didn't know those poppers, I mean, the prayer opportunity would be that good. You'll be so excited that it worked, that God moved. You'll be looking for other opportunities to do it. Just leading people to Jesus. Learn the hand of God. Learn how to just meet people and say, can I pray with you? Here's how it works. I meet people all the time. Hey, I'm such and such. Let me tell them, I'm a pastor. How are you going to say something that lets you know there's a situation in our life? How about we pray about that? Well, I don't know. Well, there's nothing wrong with praying. Let's pray. But, you know, when I pray for someone, I like to know that, you know, they're at the highest level possible to receive. How about we pray this prayer of agreement with God? And I just invite to pray for our salvation. Somebody gets born again. It's addictive. But you got to battle through Jericho to get there. God wants to use this Bible.